Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, this is episode 193. G'day.
Buongiorno.
Oh, hello. Gosh. You went Italian and I went Australian.
Yes.
Italiano, sorry.
I went to say C, but that's Spanish.
And Italian, but you would know that because you're fluent.
Andiamo. Let's go.
Allora, we should go. I'm going to talk about a book today. I read a book. I finished one show that I started ages ago and then went, I can't watch this with another show that's similar. And then I picked it up once I finished the first show, and a show that I'm halfway through, which is quite good. I believe you've got some trailers.
I do. I've got three trailers, one of which has got me very excited. I'm not spoiling what I've got. A good fun fact.
Oh, excellent.
It's going to make someone look like a goose.
Oh, no, it's not me, is it? Because I can do that myself.
No.
Okay, good.
No, it's the
good
person involved.
Okay.
And my exciting news with what I've watched is I got a VPN.
You are out of control now. Oh, HBO Max.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. A hushed lull, not to be mistaken for a lulled hush, has settled over the town this week after the excitement and thrills of the sporting events come to an end. For what feels like a lifetime, we have enjoyed being distracted from our daily hubbub lives, but it's all done now. Till Saturday, when the Monster Truck Rally races are on in Southern Watchersville. 422 of the giant vehicles will roll on into the county and then proceed to drive around in circles for our enjoyment. Candace from the petrol station is sponsoring the event and has agreed to provide enough petrol for free for 3 laps. After that, they are able to purchase more fuel or simply end the race. As the monster trucks are pretty noisy, a lot of our residents are more than happy for a shorter event. As the owner of the board game shop, Barry Kennedy, says, a fast game's a good game. Well said, Barry. Let's all push for loud car things to be out of town within the hour. Commander Vasquez from the boot camp is inviting lazy toddlers to get in shape and stop with the tantrums. He's created a workout regime that sees the little kids up half an hour before they go to bed. They will then be required to run around the lake in the snow uphill before building shoebox homes for the community. Places are filling up fast, so get on board. Students from the local high school have won the international very important short film festival. This year, the criteria stipulated the shorter the better. So the kids from East Watchersville High School made a film that was over the moment you press play. Well done. You've made us all so very proud. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Let's crack into the news because you've got a lot. Why don't you go first?
All right. Well, first one is we're going to check in on a story that we've talked about once, twice, maybe even thrice. It's that ultimate slip and slide. You'll remember that they were stuck in a bit of a shit situation.
Mm-hmm.
Pun intended. If you don't recall, this was a large-scale game show hosted by Bobby Moynihan and Ron Funches in the States.
Yep.
They had been filming for quite a bit. They've spent something like $30 million on production already and building things. They've spent a lot of money on it. And they had to cease filming one episode from the very end because the 66% or something of the crew came down with explosive diarrhea. And it turned out that Giardia had gotten into the dirt around the water, which means no one could go in the water because if anyone knocks any of the dust and it goes in the water, then it's going to set the chain off again. Now, this is not one of those shows where a winner happens at the end of each show and it's refreshes. It was a long-term competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it meant that they were unable to film their finale and the show was due to premiere after the Olympics.
That's
now
right.
It's just cancelled.
They only had one episode left.
Yep.
And now no one will see the light. None of these episodes will see the light of day because there's no conclusion.
No. I mean, maybe they come back, circle back around and have another go next year or something, but I don't think so. I think this is going to be a very expensive mistake that they just swallow.
Well, don't swallow because of the Giardia. Yes. But that's so annoying because it sounds like such a fun idea. Great hosts. Who was it? NBC? did you say?
Yes.
NBC yes. seemed really keen. I mean, especially because they're putting it on at the end of the Olympics. So it's like, that's what a lead up to that. And then to have this be the problem, they obviously invested a lot of money in the huge, enormous set, the playground, the water playground. And now what?
Yep. All gone. But look, it's been replaced for after the Olympics. And this is actually one of the trailers that I saw for this week. But there's a show called Family Game Fight.
Ooh.
Not Family Game Night, but Family Game Fight. It's hosted by Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard. They are the team captains, and they're paired up with families that fight each other. So it's like Family Feud playing ridiculous game show things that get super competitive and you turn on each other. And I couldn't tell from the trailer whether they're playing against families split up or two families against each other. But either way, they were throwing really savage barbs at each other. This show is going to be great.
So do you reckon we'll be able to see it here in Australia, or will you be able to see it because of your VPN?
I think it will end up getting showed here. I'm not sure. It feels like one of those shows that they're going to sell the format to Australia as well, like when we did the Holy Mole, or not, whatever the golf show, the putt-putt show was.
Greg Norman? I thought I saw his face on the back of buses.
There was a giant putt-putt course thing where you put it to his mouth.
Yeah, right, okay.
I can see them selling the format to Australia and stuff like that, but I haven't seen an episode yet. So it may be great. It may get canned after a couple of episodes. We'll see.
Who will know? But I think also the fact that you've got Chris and Dax there, that's such a unique chemistry.
It sets the tone.
Yeah.
Like from this trailer, it really does set the tone for what this show is going to be, which is I love you, fuck you. That's what the tone feels like of the trailer. Like, you're great, but right now, you're my enemy.
We don't want anything to do with you.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
We know that Netflix is making a series called Wednesday, which is about Wednesday Addams. It's about the Addams family. And I think it was on the weekend or something, we heard that Luis Guzman was going to be Gomez. So that was exciting. But then I saw that they announced that Catherine Zeta-Jones was going to be Morticia Addams.
That's
which,
pretty good.
Yeah, as soon as I heard both of them, I went, yeah, yes.
Is this show, is it going to be Latino as hell? Like, it's coming through those vibes through the cast. I'm down with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, his name is Gomez, so it always should have been.
But just like Luis Guzman, I can see him playing such a great Gomez, obsessed with Morticia, following her around the aisle. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with this casting so far. I'm going to be checking this out.
Yeah, me too. I think we've got a fair while to wait, but it's going to be 8-episode series and obviously going to focus more on Wednesday, but if they're casting these, you know, these well-known actors as the parents, we're going to get them. So Uncle Fester, I guess, is next. We have to figure out who they're going to choose for that one.
I'd be throwing a weird name out there, but I'd be pretty down with like a Zach Galifianakis. If you're going for some big names, someone who's just already really fucking weird.
That is really good. I thought Christopher Lloyd was great in the movie. Like he was such a great not replacement, but a great casting based on the original TV show. Is like he's fantastic because he had those eyes, you know, the crazy eyes. But I can see Zach bringing something slightly different to it, and I'm okay with that because we've had those two versions already.
I don't know. His take on the Joker for the Lego Batman movie was really solid, and that's what makes him think, like, okay, I think he could do something cool there. I don't know, but he's a big star. I don't think he'd go back to be fourth billed on a TV show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we talk about Lurch?
You rang.
You know who'd be vying for it? I can't remember his name, but the new actor who plays Chewbacca.
Sure. He'd be in the mix.
Very tall bloke.
There's a wrestler named the Great Khali who is a horrible actor, but he's the right height.
But do you have to be a good actor for that?
Ugh.
Yeah, he only says you rang and just grunts for the rest of it. You just need someone who...
And There's a guy that he plays Andre the Giant in the Young Rock TV show.
Yeah,
he could
right.
be pretty solid, actually. He's pretty tall and he's funny.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm sure we'll find out soon. They seem to be announcing every few days new cast members. So yeah.
Yes. Look, one thing that won't be happening for a while, and then one that we now know some more details on, which is great, one that won't be happening for a while but will happen, is Jumanji 4.
Ooh.
The Rock and his production team have been out and about, you know, doing all the trades, talking about Jungle Cruise mm-hmm. and building out franchises and things. And they explain that Jumanji 4 is very much on their ticket and they will be working towards that, but they're waiting to get a solid script because the last two films have been so well received. They don't want to, you know, put yeah. a hole in the boat, that, or whatever you want to call it.
That makes me so happy that is their
you
focus.
You don't hear that often.
Yeah.
Normally it's the flip side of, you know, we've already set the date. It's going to be out July 23rd, 2023.
Write it now.
Like that, whereas these guys are like, no, look, The Rock has enough projects on his plate. Mm. We have to schedule these things out really far in advance. And this gives us the luxury of being able to write the best script that we possibly can. So that's great. On the flip side, something that we've been waiting to hear about, I'm very excited. Mm. Disenchanted, the sequel to Enchanted, will be coming to Disney Plus next year. I don't think it's even going to be a Premiere Plus access.
Ooh, okay.
I think this is going to be one of the Disney Plus, you've been very good. Here's a sequel you've been waiting 10 plus years for.
Yeah.
I love that first movie. I'm not ashamed to say that I have the soundtrack on my iPhone. It's a good one to pop on while Lily's going to sleep.
Yeah, cool.
Just some really solid songs on that. And everyone involved in the first one is back. Same director, the Shankman and stuff, the Alan Merkin, the guys that wrote the music, are back doing the music. And Patrick Dempsey. I can't remember her name. The woman that voices Elsa.
Not Amy Adams. Oh, how did he say her name? Like Indira. Oh, what? How did he said Indira Mendoza. Yeah, he said it in the most random way. And I totally, like, I was right there empathizing with him because he'd obviously been backstage practicing, then going out to the stage and just went, oh, no, I have to say a name
Adina
now.
Menzel is her real name.
And he said in Indira something.
Adele Mazin. Whoops.
She was also the main witch. Oh, I can't remember the name. In Wicked. In the original Broadway production. So, yeah, in Adele Mazin.
Adele Mazin. So, yeah, that's next year, and I'm stoked for that. We've been hearing bits and pieces for years about that coming through. They've been in production for a little while now. So. Mm.
I always feel a bit worried about musical sequels because a big part of the musical is the songs, right? You love the songs. The songs become iconic to you or to everyone. And then when a sequel comes in, well, I have to sing different songs. And you're like, well, this is great, but where's my favourite song? And they can't, yeah, but... It sounds like if they've got the same composers and songwriters, they'll be able to throw some great hits in there as well.
Yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or... Hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
Hey, I bet you're excited because the fourth season of Stranger Things has got sort of a date. It's sometime next year, 2022. They had like this quick teaser trailer. I think it was about 30 seconds long, and it was a mix of older footage. There were little bits and pieces that looked like new stuff, and you can tell because those kids are they're getting big. But it started with the voice of Dr. Martin Brenner saying, "Eleven, are you listening?" Which they also showed Eleven with no hair from the very first season. And I'm pretty sure it was that season or the second one when we started to realise that she was a number because there were others. And then the third season, we just didn't hear about that at all. So it sounds like, well, I'm jumping to the conclusion that we might start seeing a little bit more with the people who are other numbers who potentially are out in the world as well. But cool. I've got till next year to wait for that. So I'm going to think about it now and not think about it till next year.
Well, while you wait,
yes,
here is some just simply wonderful news from the world of Nicole Byer. I've got a few updates.
Yes, please. I'm going to write them all down.
All right. Well, she's filming her first hour-long Netflix comedy special on September 5th. It will be out later in the year.
Yes.
Yes. So she's done a half hour for them before, but she's never done a full-length one for Netflix. This is very exciting. In addition, if you can't wait till later in the year when it comes out, September 15th, Nailed It season 6 drops, baby. Talk about arriving at the right time. Sydney Siders, we need it.
This is such good news. This is basically early Christmas present for me.
Isn't it?
Because that's
a full day of viewing sorted.
Absolutely. And the hour-long special is brilliant. And I'm also thinking it might be material. Maybe not, because it was a year ago. But I was supposed to see her live in Sydney.
Sure.
And, of course, that never happened. And I was about to say, oh, maybe she had, like, all the content from that stand-up show, and she was going to, you know, she's going to put that in the hour-long special. And then I thought, no, a lot's happened in the world since then.
Yeah.
It's probably all fresh.
I imagine maybe 20% of it might.
Maybe. Yeah.
Stuff that wasn't timely but still topical.
Mm.
We'll see.
I'm excited, though, because she's, well, we both think the world of her. We think the world of her.
She's just peachy.
She's so peachy. Did you ever watch the show American Pickers?
Hell yeah. I still watch that from time to time.
Me too. Time to time, check in, watch a bit of it and go, whoa, that looks like a great old sign. I'd like that.
What
How much is it?
Frank and Mike up to this week? Well, Frank's been out of action for a while with a bad back.
Yes, and there's a bit of drama about it. So apparently Frank is not happy because he's kind of been fired from the show. And Mike...
has got his brother in the mix.
Yeah.
The brother's been on the show for many years.
Yeah.
But about a year and a half ago when Frank's back issues
Well, he
started,
had to step in, yeah.
That's it. And for a while there, the brother was going out in the field with Frank and Mike was going out with, oh, I've forgotten her name.
Yeah.
The lady who runs the shop.
Danielle?
Danny.
Danny,
Mike,
yeah.
Mike was out touring with Danny and, sorry, Frank. No, Mike was out touring with Danny. Frank was touring with the brother.
Mm.
And then Frank has been less and less and less involved and people have asked questions. So I'm interested to hear this update.
He reckons Mike has not contacted him following his back surgery and has literally not spoken to him for a couple of years. Or maybe maybe sometime last year. He said, I'm not going to stand here and rude word lie. He said, and if he doesn't like it, then maybe he should have rude word called me. Maybe he should have called and said, hey, how's your back doing? You know, he knows I hurt my back and all of this sort of stuff. And there's just a lot of FUs in this statement he made to the Sun newspaper. The Sun newspaper.
Sure.
So I wouldn't expect to see him anywhere near that show ever again. Like, obviously something happened, they moved on, they made changes, maybe he wasn't happy with the changes and put up I don't know, but whatever it is, he's not working on the show anymore and he is not happy.
There were various issues that were starting to trickle through. Mike and his brother had opened a garage or had like bought an old garage and restored it for doing car restorations. And apparently Frank did not want in on that business and Mike is already seeing great success with that. So the show wanted to focus a bit more on cars and tracking down auto parts.
Yeah.
Whereas Frank liked to get oil tins and like very specific odd old toys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the better episodes of the show are when they're looking for the big ticket items, when they're finding old cars and things like that. So I'm sure there's all sorts of decisions behind the scenes. Mm. And fuck you, Frank. You hurt your back. The show is about digging on your hands and knees through people's old barns. You can't do that.
You know, we're not insiders. And to me, it sounds like someone who is not happy with what happened and it wasn't in his control. And now he's lashing out.
Yep. And, you know, was Mike supposed to, I mean, they don't even work at the same company.
Yeah.
they have completely like they are competitors based in different cities and stuff like that. Mm. So if you're out of action for ages, why should Mike suffer?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. So yeah, just expect that show to continue the way it's been recently. He ain't coming back.
Sure, sure. Look, I'm going to touch on this very quickly. This really bummed me out this week, but an American comedian named Trevor Moore passed mm-hmm. away a couple of days ago. He was a founding member of The Whitest Kids You Know.
That's right. Yeah. Yes,
sketch comedy show in the mid to late 2000s.
Yep.
That was hugely influential on me and many, many people my age or just younger. Mm. This sort of stuff. But they were one of the first guys doing sketch comedy online. Like they were there before YouTube.
Sure.
Doing
sure.
stuff on E-bombs were and all this sort of stuff. Before that, he had a cable access show, like a Wayne's World style late night TV show when he was about 15, 16. So this dude was a real self-starter. And over the last few years, he got into musical comedy. And he put out a couple of specials through Comedy Central, like half hour to hour long comedy shows of all songs and things like that were really good. I listened to his albums in the car and they're on my regular playlist and sort of stuff. So he did a live stream with one of the other Whitest Kids You Know guys on, I think it might have been Friday night. They finished at 11 o'clock and he had an accident in the yard afterwards. No one has, the family have asked for privacy and don't want to talk about it. So it must have been something bad, like Jeez. Ball in the pool or something like that. Anyway, it really sucks. The guy was 41.
Yeah, so young.
Very, very young. And he was going through a bit of a career renaissance at the moment. He actually has two shows that are, one he executive produces and one he writes and does the music for that are on, I think, Disney Channel, maybe Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. one of those.
Mm.
And he was doing a really weird late night talk show from a bunker type thing for Comedy Central online.
Fun.
So it really sucks. He and the other guys in the troupe have almost finished an animated movie. He thankfully has recorded all his lines and his parts for it and stuff. But I just feel for those other guys. And look, the reason why I bring move to this point is what we were talking there about with Frank and Mike.
Mm.
In the public's eyes, they're very entwined, but behind the scenes, it seems they're very separate. Whereas these guys were best friends from like age 12 and had done all of their professional career work together.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who was the breakout star. And I really feel for the other four guys because that's a lot of eggs in one basket. Plus they've lost their best friend in one snap movement. I likened it to imagine if one of the Impractical Jokers suddenly passed away.
Yeah.
It would be so difficult to watch those three other guys try and have their usual banter with each other and stuff like that. So, yeah, that it really floored me. And we don't talk about deaths, you know, too much on this show.
No.
But this guy was quite niche, but rather influential.
And like you said, super busy. Like now suddenly everything he was working on has been impacted potentially, probably, to the point where it can't go on anymore.
Yeah, some of it won't ever see the light of day. They've said that their animated movie, Mars, that will happen.
Mm.
They're going to finish it. But, yeah. Whew.
And that also sucks. Being only 41, how much could he have developed his comedy in all different directions? And we as, you know, as consumers or as the audience are never going to be able to enjoy the fruits of his creative labor.
Yep.
Yeah, very sad.
Yep. It sucks. But on a flip side, if you want something to cheer you up, I know I've mentioned him at least once, maybe twice on the podcast.
Mm.
There is a Sydney musician comedian named Tom Cardi.
Mm.
Who I told you to go and check out a few songs last week and stuff. Very excitedly, I didn't even know, but on Friday he surprise dropped an EP of 9 songs.
Ooh!
And it is all I have bumped since.
So are they songs from videos that he's posted in the past, or are they new stuff?
I think bit of a mix. Seven of them are ones that he's posted before, but
awesome.
He's added an extra verse or
awesome.
Extended them to a full length. And there were two songs that I hadn't heard before, one of which he's brought out a video for since.
Mm.
But boy, oh boy, they're good fun.
Yeah, he's so talented. He's very unique.
He's coming at it from a very Daft Punk angle. His stuff is very funk.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's my jam. I listen to a lot of funk. But he's also ridiculously self-deprecating. So even though, like, it kind of feels like Chromeo, which is two dudes making very sexy music, and they are very aware that they're not sexy dudes. It's that kind of vibe of he just undercuts himself all the time. Bloody funny, makes joke songs about, you know, there's one song about getting a big breakfast and having instant regret.
Yep.
We've all done it.
Yep.
We all know that.
That's right. It's
very relatable stuff.
Yep.
Well worth your time. I have a feeling we may end up talking about this album in my end of year top five.
Oh, really? It's that good?
Yeah. It's him and Bo Burnham. That's been my comedy things of the year.
Well, you said last week that discovering, well, not discovering, you already knew about him, but to go down the wormhole and enjoy all of his content in the space of a few hours,
was awesome.
Got you out of a lull of funk, didn't it? It brightened up your day, which is a big thing during lockdown and weird times.
Yep. So thank you, Tom Cardi. Keep bringing on the silliness.
Yeah, absolutely. Do it for Australia and the world. Hey, so the Olympics are over, and it's usually around this time where people go, well, what am I going to watch now? I watched something about the Olympics that was really, really cool. So BBC, they covered it for the UK, and all of their presenters, like most of the presenters all over the world, they stayed in the UK. They weren't actually in Japan. They weren't in Tokyo. And this really cool video that BBC uploaded, I think it was from BBC Sport, had them showing, like, the presenters were showing behind the scenes, because to the viewer, it looked like they were sitting in this massive set that was on top of a Tokyo skyrise, like skyscraper, but it was all just on a green screen set. It was three walls were all green. The floor was green. Only the chairs, the weird red table they had, and a wooden floor that they had the table sitting on, that was the only stuff that wasn't green screen. And all the background was made by, they made it in the gaming engine Unreal.
Cool.
Now, Unreal is where Fortnite is made from. So just to give people a bit of a context.
Everything over the last 15 years is you leveraged Unreal Engine in some way.
Absolutely, including other movie and TV show productions. But to see it being used for a sporting show was really,
cool.
Really interesting, you know, and they were kind of going through stuff that we know, but maybe other people don't, you know, for example, don't carry a red pen onto set, a green pen onto set, because that green pen's going to disappear. Do not wear white. It messes up with the Unreal Engine. All this really cool stuff. It was about 4.5 minutes long. They had maybe three or four different uses for this set that made it look like they're in different parts of this high rise that didn't exist. So they would have, like, where they were sitting down, they had where it looked like a catwalk where they could walk up to the camera and say, did you know that this is going on? And then they had like a more informal one where they were sitting, what looked like sitting down outside on a deck or something. And if you can find it, in fact, I should probably link it. So have a look on our social medias.
Sure.
And I'll link it, because it's really cool to see how different parts of the media entertainment industry can be used for something completely different that you would never think. It's awesome. Very clever.
The podcast that stings like a bee but does not float like a butterfly. That's ridiculous. We are the Watchers.
I've got two more trailers for you.
Yes.
I'll move them quickly. Well, number one is Stargirl, which is coming for season two. It's coming back in a couple of days. Very excited for that, mainly because I love a bit of Luke Wilson. I actually read an interview that while Luke Wilson was making Stargirl season two for DC, he was sharing a house with brother Owen, who was filming Loki for Marvel. And the two of them did not get competitive about their respective superhero universes.
That is hilarious, because you really enjoyed that first season. More than I thought you would, right?
Yes. it was a total guilty pleasure. It felt like a real throwback of a show. Everything was, you know, it was very light versus dark. That was great. Doom Patrol, I just before we recorded saw that there's a trailer for season 3 that I haven't got to watch yet, but I'm excited that there is another season of that. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know when.
Yeah.
But the one that got me real excited, season 3, he hadn't even confirmed that it was in production, but coming soon, season 3 of Joe Pera Talks to You.
Okay, so is he – so the last season, it was about beans, growing beans?
Yes, the last season had an overarching storyline of following his bean planter in the backyard. And specifically, it was timed around summer. Mm-hmm. And the first season was timed around winter, I think, May and a bit of spring. This one's all about fall. All the trailer shows is a shot of his, he's got a, I think it's a beagle, his pet dog sitting on the couch by itself. And you just hear Joe's voice go, well, do you think it's about time, Baxter, that we made some more episodes? And the dog goes, whew. He goes, all right. And then there's just a shot of a basketball hoop blowing in the breeze.
So that kind of that show got you through last year. Will you do a whole rewatch of that season in the lead up to this new one? Or do you feel like you got enough out of the last season?
I think it's more likely that I'll watch this new season and then want to go back and rewatch after. I think it's more likely that way.
Yeah.
But just in terms of a real minimal, easygoing show, no better.
I think I'm going to check into this season. Give me the heads up when it starts. I'll
for sure.
I'm going to join you in it.
Leah.
Yes. Leah. Yes. Yes.
Look out. Did you see that sign? This is a fun fact, low ceiling warning.
Whoa.
Oh, I've been hit in the face. Oh, I've been hit in the head.
No.
By a fun fact. Let me just pull it down and I'll share it with you. Oh,
what?
Let me read this fun fact for you, everyone. This is a fun fact from the movie Clueless. Alicia Silverstone, who plays Cher, actually did not know how to correctly pronounce Haitians in the classroom scene. Director Amy Heckling told the crew not to correct her because she liked it so much and wanted it to be in the film.
So, okay, like right now, for example, the Haitians need to come to America. But some people are all, what about the strain on our resources?
She comes across very silly.
Yeah, I would think that potentially that was not spotted till the editing process. It's just my guess, I don't know. And they were like, well, we could go and do all these reshoots, or that's really on brand with this character.
Let's and it really does underline how poorly prepared she was for that presentation.
Oh, for sure. That was with the, I can't remember the actor's name, but the male actor, the one with the bald head. He's bald, I'm
Wallace
pretty sure.
Wallace Shawn. Inconceivable.
That's it.
Yes, who is also the principal in the Goof Troop movie.
And a lot of other things.
He's in many. Lots of things, of course.
Works in so much. That was a great fact. And I'm going to have
thanks.
To... Now I really want to go back and watch Clueless.
It is a classic.
Paul Rudd hasn't aged.
Nope.
Well, maybe 5 years. That's about it. Should we get into some...
Who would have thought?
Watching suggestions?
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So I watched a few things, read a thing, and I'm here to talk about them. First one, though, I know you've seen Good Omens. I finally finished that season because I was watching Good Omens the same time I was watching American Gods. I'm like, this is no.
It does not line up.
No. And they're like two alike but not alike, but just simply because of the Neil Gaiman thing. But I'm like, I just need to enjoy it by itself. And I did. And it was such a wonderful season. What a great season it is. And I know you spoke about it maybe a couple of months ago that there's a second season. And that'll be really exciting. I think that's coming out next year.
Yeah, it might take a while. I have no idea what the second season could entail.
No.
But I don't want to say anything that could be considered spoiler territory for anyone that's not watched the first season, but it's well worth your time. It's only 6 episodes, right?
Yeah, there's not many. And after you saw Jungle Cruise, of course, Jack Whitehall's in it, being Jack Whitehall. I think now that he hit Jungle Cruise, and that people, particularly in America, have discovered him, I think we're going to see him in a lot of other things. Because he's always been in stuff, right? From, was it Teachers? I don't think it was called Teachers, but that comedy, the UK comedy where he was a teacher and he was hopeless.
Bad Education.
That's it.
Which I love. And then he was also on Freshers, which was some of the people that made In-Betweeners mixed with some of the people that made Skins.
Which is
behind the scenes.
Exactly where Jack Whitehall would fit, yep. I think. And to see him sort of...
I had a lot of time.
Yeah. He's travels with my dad, with my father, I should say. We're just so good. And I'm sad that COVID has stopped that because those two know exactly how to do that comedy.
I'm gonna throw this out there. They are looking for a new Doctor Who. There is a lot of people are saying Richard Ayoade would be amazing. I want to add to that and say Richard Ayoade as the Doctor, Jack Whitehall as his companion.
Those are two massive names for Doctor Who. I mean, I know Doctor Who's a massive show, but that's a lineup.
That's a lineup.
Yeah.
Never happened. Never happened.
What have you been watching this week?
Well, as I mentioned, I got a VPN. How fancy. So first cab off the rank was that we watched Space Jam, A New Legacy.
And?
Well, it's been an interesting one because critics weren't particularly kind.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought, I don't know, I for some reason I thought it was going to be received really well and I was just basing that off the trailer.
It is a very ADD movie. There is a lot going on and it wants a lot of your attention pulled in different ways. But we sat down and watched it with a bowl of popcorn and we had a great time family night. Shay absolutely adored it.
Awesome.
There were moments that she thought was just hilarious. And it's one of those funny ones of like, yeah, okay, maybe critics, you don't love it. But if you look back, that first film, it's not great. But if you were at the right age for it at the right time, it's important to you. It's a nostalgia hit.
Yeah.
And this feels like it's going to be the same thing for Shay of just, that was a good, fun movie. And when I'm older, I'll remember it being good fun. Not being good.
Just good fun. Yeah, I understand what you mean. Has she seen the original?
Many times with me, yes.
Yeah, she also has that as well. So she's come in knowing what it is. So she doesn't have to know who LeBron James is to enjoy this.
No, and it does a good job of setting all that up at the beginning. And this sort of stuff, Don Cheadle plays a very over-the-top bad guy. There is no Bill Murray, I will tell you that going in.
Okay.
However, there is a cameo that was very funny. Okay. It did have me ropper laughing. and for a moment, the women I was watching with looked at me like, why is that funny? And then the joke gets explained a bit more and it's like, okay, that is very funny. But it's a joke that what we do for a job, this lands.
Okay, great.
It's very bang on, very on brand. So, yeah, if you've got kids, I highly recommend it. If you really enjoyed the first movie, it's worth a bit of a dip your toe in.
Mm.
And it's also really fun just to play, holy shit, is that in the background? Because they blend in everywhere. They go, Casablanca has appearances. Rick and Morty are in this movie.
Does it work? Or is it, can you feel like it's more okay? Because sometimes that kind of thing feels like we're putting it in there so that it's in there.
I don't think they were allowed to play with Harry Potter particularly much, but they were allowed to keep saying the phrase Harry Potter over there or like pointing in, oh, look, there's Harry Potter. Like, we can almost see it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a bit of that. A bit of that sort of stuff. But yeah, I enjoyed it. Not a great movie by any stretch. But
good fun.
Fun.
There was a book that I should say a book series that I started. It was an audio book actually, Red Rising. So, I think there's maybe four or five books. There's a lot of the books. And it kind of intrigued me because it's a dystopian sort of science fiction where your colour is your position in society. And it reminded me, at least that premise reminded me of Jasper Ford's Shades of Grey. And he only ever wrote one book and it was supposed to be a trilogy and he never got around to writing the other two stories. And it was really interesting based on the color that you could see. So everybody had a degree of color blindness within the Jasper Ford world. So if you could only see grey, Shades of Grey, then you were basically the servants, you know. That sort of thing. And then the more colours you could see, the higher up in society you were. And I thought, oh, Red Rising must be kind of like that. It's not really. Red is who you are, where you're from, where you sit within society. So the golds are the highest. And basically every part of society is there to serve the golds. And
sure.
The reds are rising, or at least they're giving it a red hot go with one character disguising himself as a gold and getting in with the gold, and he's going to break the system from within. And I think I'm going to listen to the second book, because you know sometimes when you start a series or a trilogy, like I'll just see what the first one's like, and if I'm not on board. I'm going to bounce out. But it's kept me interested enough and intrigued enough in the universe that he's created. Pierce Brown, I mean, the author. I want to see what's going to happen next and expand the world. Whether I listen to a third one, I don't know, but the second one is definitely on my list. Yeah, I'm finding audiobooks are really good for the walks. Go for a walk, listen to a story, listen to a world that you're not a part of.
Yep.
And just be by yourself and enjoy it. It's good, yeah.
Nice. Speaking of things that were good.
Yeah.
So I got my VPN. I got it so I could watch Suicide Squad, and I'm glad I did. It dropped 9 a.m. Friday. I watched it. Then I did the live show with you. Then I did my chores. And then once everyone went to bed, I watched it again at night. It's great.
Second watch, just as good?
Just as good. Loved it. Some of the things were less surprising, of course.
Mm.
As the tagline for the film, don't get attached. It's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah, right.
Anytime you start thinking, oh, this might be my favorite character, boom. Over and over and over again.
Is there going to be another Suicide Squad? Because this one seemed to really, I mean, compared to the first one, the reception for this film has been total 180. Fans enjoying
Reviews
are okay.
Fans are enjoying it. Reviews are great. Reviews are through the roof for it. Box office wise, it hasn't done great.
Is that just because of when we are? When and where we are?
There's all sorts of reasons. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Delta numbers are on the rise again in the States.
Yeah.
This is a sequel to a film that was not well received.
Mm.
It does not star Will Smith, who was the star of the first film. It does not feature Joker, who was a big hook of the first film.
Yep.
You know, and there's a whole bunch of reasons. It's what's called the Tomb Raider trap. So that first Tomb Raider movie with Angelina Jolie made tons of movie despite not being great.
Yep.
And the second movie that came out with her was significantly better, but it only did half to a third of the box office because the first film, not many people wanted to spend more time because of that first film.
Sure.
So there's a lot of chatter going around if that's what's happened here. Mm. Now, of course, HBO Max doesn't share their viewership numbers for how it's performed online.
Yep.
The fact that it was also there to be watched for free if you were already signed up to HBO Max probably didn't help box office. It sucks, but everyone's happy enough that I don't think it's going to harm James Gunn's chances of working with DC again and this sort of stuff. I don't know if he will do another Suicide Squad movie. Without giving anything away at the end, we already know there's a spin-off Peacemaker series, John Cena's character, coming for HBO Max in January next year.
Mm-hmm.
There are some characters who have not died or been blown up by the end of the film that I don't know if they do another Suicide Squad or whether they go with Secret Six or another storyline that is similar but maybe no longer working for the government with bombs in their head or something like that.
Okay.
But I loved it. It's so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really silly in parts. It also has by far Margot Robbie's best performance as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
He's smart. He uses her sparingly and like...
Okay.
Interesting. There's a subplot where she's on her own that is great, but it's specifically set up to deliver a huge hero action set piece for her, and then you know what I mean. Mm. Like it could very easily have become Harley Quinn and the Suicide Squad.
Mm. And that's kind of what I thought it was. Just judging by the discourse that I've seen on social media, people love Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn in this, so that's all I've seen. Therefore, I thought she was the main character.
Idris is the main, Idris is the main character, but it is an ensemble movie. And it works with having someone like Idris, because Idris is an amazing actor and everyone loves him, but he's not Will Smith pretending to be someone else.
Yep, yep.
You know what I mean? And like, Will Smith has too much star power and it completely unbalanced that other movie, or if it was meant to be an ensemble piece and you go in there, well, they're not going to kill Will Smith.
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
You know what I mean? Whereas this one, everyone's on a much more level playing field. And, oh, my God, just some absolutely horrible deaths. The shark rips a man in half down the middle. Like, not at the guts, pulled, like, top, like, not chicken bone. Like, literally grabs him either side of the neck and pulls down the spine.
That's Sylvester Stallone, right?
He does the voice. Okay. The mocap was done by a guy named Steve Agee, who's one of his friends, one of James Gunn's friends.
Okay.
Like a real funny guy on his own.
Yeah.
And he is the warden in charge of the prison who works with Amanda so he's still in the film as himself. Mm. Same way that Sean Gunn, who's James Gunn's brother, he is the mocap for Rocket in the Guardians movies.
Yep.
In this film, he's the mocap for a character named Weasel.
Oh, the one that licks the glass in the trailer. Yep, yep.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
But he also gets a very short cameo as himself with a shaved head and Jan Feb Ma all written around his head, playing a guy named Julian Day, the Calendar Man, who is a bullshit Batman, very D-list villain who only ever does crime on tropical holidays.
Oh, my God, so annoying. I love it. Do you have to have seen the first one in order to watch the second?
Not at all. Awesome. There are only who comes back? Harley Quinn is back. Captain Boomerang is back. Jai Courtney, Rick Flagg, and Amanda Waller. So there's only four characters, and literally the only reference to the first film is when Captain Boomerang is already sitting on the plane, and Harley gets on and he goes, "Hals, what are you fucking doing here, love?" And she's like, "Oh, I got arrested again." He's like, "Ready for another tour then?" Ha. That's it.
That's it.
The only reference to the first film. It's so cleverly done.
Yeah.
He plays a good scumbag Australian.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting next to, like, talking to Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson's sitting next to Weasel, and he's panicked about the Weasel. You think that's a fucking dog, mate? When do fucking dogs grow opposable thumbs? He's doing his best John Jarrett in Wolf Creek.
Yeah. And why not?
Oh, it's a good Aussie accent. If you're going to throw it out there, give him a fucking serve.
Bit angrier than your Crocodile Dundee, and a bit more realistic too.
Oh, and it's just great because everyone else is Harley Quinn, Harley Quinn, Harley Quinn. He's just Hals. He's just done exactly how someone would say, like how Brian Brown would say, "Dal."
Yep.
Bring us a cup of Dal.
Yeah.
Dead mate, Hals. Bring us a cup. Bang on.
Margot Robbie must have slipped. The accent must have slipped at some point around him.
I don't know. Her accent is pretty good, and I reckon she's got the best handle on it in this film of her portrayals yet.
Well, speaking of accents, I've been watching the Kate Winslet series called Mayor of Easttown. Now, not mayor as in, "G'day, I am the mayor. I'm in charge of the council." Exactly. Her name's Mare. I assume it's Mary or Maria or something, but everybody calls her Mare. And
Margaret.
Margaret, probably. Yeah, she does a very.
Sorry, can I pause for a second?
Yes.
Why does Margaret get shortened to Peg? Do you know this? Are you aware of this?
I don't
Peggy
know.
Peggy is short for Margaret.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Listeners, if you know the answer, if you could let me know, I've wondered about this for a long time. My grandmother's name was Margaret, but everyone called her Peg.
Peggy.
I never knew why. No. It's just a nickname. It's just what you do when you shorten it. Like how Richard becomes Dick.
Yeah, Albert becomes Bert. That makes sense. Oh,
Becoming Dick doesn't make sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. So Christopher is Chris. Sometimes it's Topher. Kit is Christopher, isn't he? Kit Harrington? Is he Christopher Harrington? Kit?
I thought it's Christian. I don't know.
Maybe he's Christian. Know. Yeah, something like that. But yeah,
I don't know. I'm sorry, I've derailed your discussion. Let's bring it back to point. It's just, there you go, Margaret.
So Mare, aka Kate Winslet, she does such a good accent, and Guy Pearce is in there as well. And I think I was watching maybe the third or fourth episode, maybe the third, and he was in it, and he was speaking to her, and I was like, I can hear some of his Aussie accent. I can't hear any of her English accent at all.
Sure.
She put on a bit of weight for this movie, very very not glamorous. Looks like a real person. You know what I mean? You know how that you've got the Hollywood look and then you've got real people. She looks like a real person. She's the sort of head of her family, sort of. You learn a few other things of this town where everybody kind of knows everybody else, you know, that kind of town. And she's a detective who has been in charge for the past year of trying to figure out this missing person's case. And the mother of the missing person, the girl, understandably wants her daughter to be found, wants to know what happened. Whatever happened, she wants to know what happened. And she's kind of blaming Mare for not trying hard enough. And she's kind of almost getting the pitchforks out every now and then to give Mare a hard time. And then there's a murder of another young lady within the town.
Murder, you say?
Now, is that connected? Is that connected to the missing girl or not? Every episode you watch, something gets more convoluted and twisted and you're like, oh, this could be anyone who's done all of these bad things. I'm pretty sure it's HBO. It is. It's HBO. And it's just one of those murders.
Did you watch it on Binge?
I'm watching it on Foxtel. But yeah, so it's something a bit different. And I think there's only six, maybe eight episodes tops. I think it's only six. And the story will be told and I'll know what happened. And I'll let you know. I probably
can't
won't.
Wait.
Yeah, I probably won't. Ooh. Anything else you've watched?
No, you don't deserve it.
Right. Well, then my way of getting revenge on you is quiz time.
Oh, no.
This one is called Oscar Wilde or Spice Girls. I'm going to read you lines from either an Oscar Wilde play or lyrics from a Spice Girls song, and you've got to try and figure out which one it is. I must say, I've had a practice. This is really difficult, so I'm going to try and be as monotone as possible, so don't give too much away.
Don't spice up your life, otherwise it'll throw it off.
Exactly. All right, I'm just practicing the voice. It's going to be read like this. First one. You just walk in, I make you smile.
That's Spice Girls.
It is. It's from Stop. You just walk in, I make you smile. Yeah, that's it.
Stop. No more, we'll get in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. Back to the robot voice. I could deny it if I liked. I could deny anything if I liked.
That's Oscar Wilde.
It is Oscar Wilde. That's Jack, a.k.a. Ernest, from The Importance of Being Earnest.
But you didn't expect me to know Oscar Wilde.
I know how I know how well you went at school. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You studied it. Okay. I like you already more than I can say.
That's Spice Girl.
It's not. It's Oscar Wilde. It's Gwendolyn from The Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh. You got
Gwenny.
Me there.
Gwenny. What about this one? This one, okay, back to the voice. Your trumpet's blowing for far too long.
What?
Your trumpet's blowing for far... Actually, I could just... Your trumpet's blowing for far too long.
Is that Spice Girls?
It's the Spice Girls. It's from Who Do You Think You Are? Do you think you are? Yeah.
Some kind of superstar.
That's right, exactly. I'm afraid.
Move it, shake it, bust it, and fake it. Show me how good you are.
Show me how good you are. Isn't that the song that they perform in the Spice World movie? Like, that's the big.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of Spice Girls songs in that movie. That's the big one. I'm afraid I'm not fond of girlfriends.
Oscar Wilde.
Yes. But it's actually Mrs. Chevely from An Ideal Husband. She's not fond of girlfriends, she'll have you know.
Mm-hmm.
Final one. The last time that we had this conversation, I decided we should be friends.
Spice Girls.
Yep. Say you'll be there.
Yep.
Last time that we had this conversation, I decided we should be friends. It was very close to being Jane Austen or Spice Girls, but I realized I only had Sense and Sensibility in my bookshelf, and I thought, that's too specific. It needs to be a series of books. So I got a complete...
But, and instead you found topics that both were relevant to me, because I spent a lot of time listening to Spice Girls as a teenager while studying Oscar Wilde.
That's really taken you back to a specific time in your life, hasn't it?
Oh, man, I had a really good English teacher at school, but, like, he went on a trip for about 3 months there where all we were allowed to study was, like, really depressing Irish poetry.
Oh, what? Was James Joyce Irish?
Yeah.
I don't think he was a poet, though.
Some real deep cut.
Yeah, right.
I can't even remember any names right now, but Irish and a little bit of Scottish, but mainly Irish poetry.
I bet you've got the book floating around somewhere. Mm-hmm. The book's got to be somewhere.
All sorts of notes scribbled in the margin.
Exactly. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Of course, Tom, we will be back on Friday, 12:30 p.m., lunchtime, Australian Eastern Standard Time. That's evening in the U.S.
Yes, Thursday evening in the U.S. Come and see us.
It'll be good fun. We'll have more questions. None of these ones that you have listened to will be in there. They'll be all brand new ones. It'll be great. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Ooh. Ooh.